Right, it's good to be together to worship, refocus our minds away from the challenges, the task that we have before us. I do want us to take a moment for a personal word. Billy, if you'd put a picture up on the screen for me. For some of you, I'd like to introduce you to my dad. You've not met him, but some of you haven't met him. And more importantly, Friday morning at 8:15 a.m., he got to see Jesus face to face and have his first day in heaven. A personal word to you is you're my family too. Mine and Jerry and Ashley and Hannah and their husbands and my brother Marshall is part of this fellowship. So your love and prayers have been more than appreciated. If you're here today and you're just hearing about this for the first time, please don't feel bad. It's kind of just leaking, seeping out, those kind of things. But many of you all have been this journey before. You know it well. We know our hearts, our trust is in the risen Lord that we have sung about this morning. We do not enter this time without hope, but to knowing that we shall see one another again. And I pray that the same for you and for your family. And we rejoice today in that. I don't expect y'all to make that trip. Please hear me clearly on that. However, some have asked, visitations 4 to 8 today and the funeral tomorrow at 11. But please, your love here is plenty for us. So anyhow, thank you again. I love you. Even more so, our hearts are really set on what God would have us to be. We've been in this series called Multiply, and we've really planned that it would stir in us a huge desire to seek the vision, the inspiration, and implementation for what God would have us to be and what God would have us to do to multiply His kingdom here on earth. And so we've kind of just set forth some themes without any real strategies yet. And so we've looked at multiplying through the next generation. You know how important that is. Children, students, young families with children. It's not that we're going to forsake any of the ages, but we know that it just takes one generation to lose the legacy of faith in your house, in your home, in your family. So we've got to be busy proclaiming the word. We also spoke about multiply through redemptive ministries, and we're just talking about fallenness, and we live in a fallen world, and there's much hurt, and so either due to our own bad choices, wrong decisions, sinful life, or someone else sinning against us, or just Satan himself, there's tragedies in life, and God has called us to minister with the redemption that we've received from Him and give it back to those that are hopeless, those who are without Jesus. Last week we talked about multiply through communicating the gospel, and certainly we cannot forsake that we have to learn to open our mouths and give praises to the King. Today we've done it. We've felt the Spirit of God in this place as we've worshiped, as we felt God resonating in our hearts and minds with the hope of the truth that is a reality for us now and forever shall be. And we've got to share that message with folks that don't know Jesus. And today we're just going to simply talk about the concluding event. All of our plans, all of our ideas will amount to nothing if we don't learn to multiply through God's blessings. And you might be saying here today, well, what are we talking about, God's blessings? Multiply the kingdom of God by God's blessings to you, to me. To our church, we have to spread those blessings. And you know, we might say, what blessings? But you know what they are. God has blessed you with family and home. He's blessed you with friends. He's blessed you with abilities. And you may think or not think your personality is a blessing, but we hope it is to some. Your experiences in life, you may not think they're a blessing, but God can make them a blessing in your life. Your work, your enjoyments, we call those avocations, those things that God needs to be, should be, is expected to be present in any and everything that we do, that we might bring Him glory. And if we can't get to that foundational truth in our life, then multiplying the kingdom is not going to happen through us, through our fellowship of belief, through our church. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, 2, it gives a centerpiece, a center point for us to begin to see that. And I just really want to focus on verse 1 for just a moment. The passage that we're going to is going to be this passage to speak on today. But therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, I beg you, I urge you, to offer or to present your bodies a living sacrifice. If we can't do that, not just one time when we commit to Jesus Christ as Lord, but every day to submit to Him, then we will not have the resulting power of God. We'll not have the resulting obedience to God. We'll not have the resulting flame of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. If we can't get to this point that all that I do and say, all that God has blessed me with in life, that I'm going to give back to Him. I'm going to give Him my body. I want to give Him my mind. I want to give Him my emotions. I want to give Him my will. And then God will multiply. And then God will work. Not only through your life and your home and your family, but God will work through our church to multiply His kingdom. That has to be the focus on my heart. That has to be the focus on your heart. And maybe today you haven't gotten to that point today, but we want to challenge you to get to that holy and pleasing to God. And this is, I like it how it said, I don't remember which version, this is your reasonable service of worship. It's only reasonable. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Jesus gave His life willingly that you might live, not only now but for eternity, and that eternity begins the moment you receive Him. And so it's just reasonable that that's your true and proper worship to Him each and every day. God wants your life offered to Him as a living sacrifice. That's when you have the entry to be useful to Him. That indeed in your life is when you begin to be used. If that is your heart cry, then that will be your heart's prayer. Not just once on Sunday, but every day when your feet hit the ground or before they hit the ground. God, use me to be bringing glory to your name, that your kingdom on earth may be as in heaven. And see, we have to worship, and then we can serve Him. And you see, as Christians, we have this unity of the living sacrifice, this level of commitment. But there's diversity at the level of service. We each do it by the giftedness that God has given us, and there's going to be no blessing of service unless we offer ourselves as a sacrifice. There's no blessing or no glorifying. And it's very practical. We've said it over and over before. I've kind of tweaked it a little bit. We want to be the hands, and we normally say feet, but I'm going to say the hands and voice of Jesus. It's so practical when we make ourselves a living sacrifice. And we can't really say that we're committed without any meaningful service to God by serving others. So you'll never know your gift or your potential gift until you have a Romans 12, 1 and 2 experience. Verse 2 says, then do not conform to the pattern of this world. We're different. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will in your life and in the life of our church. You see how it starts inwardly? How God gives us a new born again heart, mind, and will. And then that begins to grow and to develop to where every day we want to submit our lives as a living sacrifice to Him. Well, we're going to read verses 3 through 6 today. And I'll ask you to join me real quickly and we'll have a prayer. All right? Would you stand with me, please? For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Let's pray together. Our Father, would you just come today and speak by the Spirit of God to us, to help us to know that your will is fulfilled to us and through us when our hearts are a living sacrifice to you. Today, Lord, may we consecrate ourselves to you. Lord, we've failed, we've fallen short. We know what it means to try to do it on our own, and we can't. But Lord, help us to understand how to walk in the Spirit of God, a God consciousness each and every day, all day long. And help us as well to know your holy word, that we might know who you are and how you work in our world and our lives. And Lord, today we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We humble ourselves before you in Jesus' name. Amen. On verse 3, I want you to see, first of all, the proper attitude. Verse 3. It's not very hard to say this, and so I'm not going to dwell on it long. For by the grace given to me, I say to each and every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Humility is that right attitude. And we won't have the right attitude, the right mind in Jesus unless we have that self-surrender based upon verse 1. If we have the self-surrender, we'll have the right attitude about ourselves. So it says, don't be overestimating your value. Don't overestimate your gifts. And at the same time, we could discounter that and say, don't underestimate your value and don't underestimate your gifts as well. I was talking with a gentleman this week. I hadn't seen him in quite a while. And frankly, he's at another church, but I had been following him, and we rarely see each other. And I just said, well, are you getting opportunities to serve at the new church? And he says, yes, I am. He says, but don't get me wrong. He says, I would never be upfront like you. I'm not an upfront kind of person. I said, well, that's fine. I said, in fact, the Bible tells us that those that may be not up there waving their tongue and jawing like I am, they're more important. And I said, so don't relinquish your gift as unimportant. What you're doing to serve the kingdom, what you're doing to grow the kingdom is more important. And so it was this kind of modesty, maybe a kind of humility that was involved with it. But it's just the point that don't underestimate, don't overestimate. God has given you a gift to use for his glory and for his kingdom. And he will maximize that gift when you humble yourself. And so we have to have, first of all, the proper attitude. We'll be no use to God until people see our humble hearts before him and before them. And it's got to be real. It's got to be authentic, the words that we all say and agree on each and every day. And then God will multiply as a kingdom. I like that last phrase, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. In accordance with the faith means that you've got to tell the faith. It all begins and ends on the faith. You've got to know and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ that saved you from your sins. If you knew enough to be saved, you know enough to tell other people how to be saved. And so when we begin to see this, it's not only in accordance with the faith that God has given you, but it's also in accordance with this faith that is given to us as far as being distributed as we grow. Now, what does that mean? It's a gift given by God, and it's the amount of faith. It's the in kind and in the quality and quantity of faith to operate your gift. He's going to give you the kind of faith and the amount of faith that you need to operate your gift if you submit to him. You get in situations where you're nervous, and you don't really know what to say or what to do. But God will give you the amount of faith, meaning what? Your relationship to Jesus as Lord. And he'll give the kind and he'll give you the quantity to meet what is required of you to say and to do and to be what you need to be. Now, do you believe that? Well, I don't know. I don't believe that because I was out on my own there and I was trying all I could do and I was saying all I could do and I was really feeling weak and I felt like it turned out a disaster. But the key word there is it was all about you. You kept saying I, or I kept saying I. And we've all tried and we've all failed. But the key here is that we humble ourselves to God and to others, and the power of God and the word of God becomes infused in you. We've got to be behind the cross. And so there's the proper attitude that we can see and that we can do. So if you're involved as a shepherd, and listen, you say, well, I'm not a shepherd. If you're a leader, you're a shepherd of some sort and fashion. If you're a parent, you're a shepherd in some sort or fashion. If you're a pastor, the main calling is really to be a shepherd. And so from that standpoint, it's this gift of mercy. It's this gift of a soft heart where you hear and see the pain and the need in others, and it causes the Spirit of God to stir in you to where you minister, you serve, you love. That's the best word, isn't it? You love others, and you place them before you, and you point them to God. And you know, in the case of being a teacher, as some of you are as well, it's not only understanding the Bible, but explaining it and applying it so that you help others to be able to understand and to do that. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but what I'm trying to say is that God will give you the kind of faith and the quantity of faith to operate whatever gift of God that you have, that you may glorify Him and that others would see Him and not see you. And so when we say proper attitude, and then verses 4 through 6a, it's a proper relationship. If you look at verse 4, and he relates this to the analogy of the human body, as you know. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, hands, eyes, ears, feet, and these members do not all have the same function, obviously. Verse 5, so in Christ, though many, we form one body of Christ, and each member belongs to all the others. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. We all function differently, is what the scripture tells us here. And so all members don't have the same function or the same practice. That's us. You know, if we look at Rick Warren's model, he says your shape as your giftedness is your spiritual giftedness, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, written about 53 A.D., Romans chapter 12, written about 57 A.D., and then you have Ephesians chapter 4, written about 63 A.D., and then you have 1 Peter chapter 4, written about 67 A.D., and it gives you examples of the gifts of the Spirit by which we can serve God. And so we are one body, but members, we're all members of each other. And it's amazing how the body works together. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12, it's for the common good. It's for our common life, our common joy, our common blessing, for the common good of everyone that we serve in these gifts. And the important thing is that we know that we're all called to serve. And we have such diversity that if we don't do what we're gifted to do, it cripples the body. Some of you may know someone that has an infirmity in their physical body, a physical infirmity. And the body is impaired to some degree because of not being able to use that particular part of the body. And such is the case when you are not exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit and being involved in the greater body. But if we all join in, we're stronger and better together, and we encourage each other, and we work well together, in though we have different gifts. So the shape is our heart. It's our passion, what God has given us a heart for. You know, it is our abilities, those things that you may have learned through life and in a very tangible way. It's our personalities, whether you feel like you're extrovert, introvert, or no vert at all. It's God using you. And your experiences in life, whether they're the blessed experiences or the roughest experiences in life, you know, God uses all those to shape your story and testimony and your giftedness to bring Him glory. And that's the message that we receive here. Unified diversity is a mark of the church just as it is in the body, of our physical bodies. Now, for 3 years prior coming to seminary, from 1984 to 1987, I was at First Baptist Church in Paducah. I didn't know it, but I was being mentored probably by 10 or 12 people, let's say. And so it was a Tommy McIntosh inviting me to his discipleship class. It was a Lee Chumbler inviting me to evangelism, visitation, and learning evangelism explosion. It was a Karen Thomas, the church organist, that welcomed me into their home to eat Sunday afternoon dinners, that would check on me to see if I was dating the correct ladies. It's true. Yeah, and it was folks that would take me under their wing and guide me and direct me. It was an associate pastor that personally carried me on his back, told me what to do every week, told me how to do it every week, and then sent people to support me every week. And so you get the picture of this proper relationship to the body. Wouldn't it be great that if we were a church that took that kind of interest in one another and to everyone that came into this place? Wouldn't it be great if we encouraged and built each other up? And that's just my blessed experience. And I hope that you have had some blessed experience that somebody showed an interest to you in your local church growing up, and that you thank them for that and you love them for that. Well, I'd only mentioned about four, but that was my experience. And then verses 6-8, you have just a proper service. So you got proper attitude, a proper relationship to the body of Christ. You can't do it alone. You'll never do it alone. People that sit at home think they're going to do it alone and relate to the TV alone, you're going to get a good message, hopefully, but you don't have the fellowship of faith in the believers that you need day to day, every day of your life. The proper service, it says in verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. And I just want to say this. Whatever gift you have, God gave it to you. God gives the management of that gift, listen, according to the grace given to each of us. And the promise of God is, I'll give you everything you need, whatever your situation is in life, no matter what your troubles are, if you will humble yourselves before me, submit your life and your circumstance to me, I will give you enough grace. My grace is sufficient for you in your time of heartache and weakness and whatever you're facing, that you can bring me glory, and I will bring you blessing, is what he said. So if your gift here is prophesying, which is speaking before people, proclaiming the gospel, it may include foretelling the future from the Old Testament, but it certainly talks about encouragement and comfort. It talks about speaking the revelation of God, whether it's reiterating the revelation of God or telling new revelation from God. And so prophesying, then prophesy. It says, according to your faith, with the amount of faith that has been given unto you. You know, I was just thinking that when I began to teach for the first time, I was 24, and the church in Paducah gave me this opportunity, 12th grade boys. I thought, well, 12th grade boys, huh? Probably thought a little more than that, didn't I? 20 of those, when I walked in the first day, I'm not exaggerating, there was 20 12th grade boys, huge church. And you know, I was nervous and didn't have a lot of mentoring on that, but giving your best and having a hunger or desire to give your best is what God honors, and how God will help you and help you to grow. God help those boys even now, right? And you know, it's the same with visiting folks. You know, that's taboo. We're all scared of it. Probably there's not many folks in here that's ever been on a church visitation, to be honest with you, and have never really enjoyed it, to be honest with you. That's kind of scared of it, to be honest with you. But, you know, to have folks take me by their side and take me visiting and show me the way to do it and the spirit to do it, that it can be enjoyable to do it, that it's a blessing to do it, and you know, shame on me. We need to emphasize that more as a church. But in my pilgrimage, that proper service is according to your faith, it says here. God grows your faith as you stick your neck out there, you stick your heart out there, as you don't say no to anything, as you say yes to him all the time. And he will grow you as you humble yourself to him. Is that what you desire? And is that what our church desires? And we could go in so many different ways for that, but verse 7 and following, I'm just going to read these and kind of move on. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. Verse 8, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is in giving, then give generously. If it is to lead or govern or administrate, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And they go on, and we could spend time on each and every one of those, but we're not today. But I want to give you the offside here, found in Matthew chapter 25. And I want to read verses 24 through 30. Hopefully you'll recognize this parable of the talents. But it says, then the man who had received one bag of gold came. And so the context of this is that a man went on a journey, and he left all of his belongings to three of his servants. And to one he gave five talents. Another he gave two talents, and another he gave one talent. And the man who gave five talents, he went out and immediately multiplied them with five more talents. He invested everything that he was and everything that his master had blessed him with, and he gained five more. The same with the person who was given two talents. He went out and invested all the blessings his master had given him, and he invested them in his life and everything that he did, and immediately it says that he received two more. But this is the one that was given one bag of gold or one talent. He said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And then it says, so I was afraid and went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I do not sow and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can go the other way. In your life, you can take God's blessings all day long and harbor them and keep them for yourself. Or you can take God's blessings that he has given to you and invest them back for his glory and for his kingdom wherever you're at. And the message here is that we're serving God wherever we're at with whatever we have and whatever we've been given to him. And that's the message that he gives to us, and that's the foundation for us having a fresh new vision, a fresh new quest that God would show us strategies and to implement for multiplying the kingdom of earth here on earth. And that's what God has instructed us to do. And so the question for you today is, will you offer yourself to God as a living sacrifice and become immediately useful to him? Are you willing to pray that every day and live for that every day? Whatever God gives you, whatever he blesses you with, you are to give back to him, use for him and for his glory. That's the biblical message that we say. And you might say, well, how do I know my gift? You'll never start knowing your gift until you present yourself a living sacrifice to God. You've got to begin right there. And know that God has promised to gift you with the Holy Spirit of God. You have to know that, and you have to pray for wisdom. And you also have to examine your heart's desires, the passion that God has given you, what really burdens you, what really excites you for ministering for him. And then seek confirmation. If somebody tells you you're not a teacher, believe them, you're not a teacher. I don't know why I said that. I've had folks look me right in the face and tell me I couldn't preach a lick. I didn't believe them. So I just started preaching longer. Oh, this is a joke. That's a true story. Look for blessings from God as he confirms you. Serve with your whole heart and cultivate the gift. Fan the flame. Cultivate the gift as it becomes obvious in you. Continue to work with that. Now, if you say you've given yourself wholly to God, people are not going to believe you. They're not going to believe you at all if they do not see any evidence of it, any effective service. It's just a fact. You say, well, they're all judgmental, old rascal. Where did that come from? If they're brothers and sisters in Christ, it's called discernment. They're not judging you as the hell. They're not mad at you. They're pulling for you. We should confront each other with that aspect, so why aren't we? If we're not driven to serve, but we want to indulge our own needs, then there's some kind of lapse there in what we call faith. And if we're so busy that we're uncommitted to God, then there's something wrong with serving God. God has said, as you go, serve me. Wherever you're at, serve me. And if we are so busy serving him and we're uncommitted to spiritual dedication, then there's something wrong with that. I'm just serving God all day long, and I'm just meeting their physical needs and emotional needs, but we don't care anything about their spiritual needs. There's something that is wrong with that. And so when we begin to look at this picture, the results of multiplying the kingdom will not accrue. They will not build up to you as in terms of your being blessed or your rewards in heaven until you fully submit yourself to God and feel the power of God from up high upon you. You see, God is asking you to learn to live and value living your life a sacrifice. Then you'll begin to operate at max effectiveness. Well, he was age 16. And that's when he was saved and committed his life to Jesus Christ as Lord under Pastor Johnson. And at around 20 years of age, he became a deacon in that church. Sounds pretty young to me. Throughout his life, he was a deacon, faithful to the service of the church and community. Throughout his life, adult Sunday school teacher. Oh, how he loved singing in the choir. That was his life. He was involved a little in mission trips, a little in vacation Bible school, lay revivals. A man with few words, but never knew him to say no to God through the church. Never knew him to ever say no to an opportunity that came about. And the best way I could explain it was sincere. He pursued God the way he knew to pursue God, the way he had seen God pursued, the way that people had instructed him. And, you know, that can be a roadblock if you're not getting it right and you're not getting much of that. But he pursued God. And he did all that he knew, and he did all that he knew and all that he was taught. And so my dad was a churchman. Oh, how he loved God's church. I'd say if there's anything that excited him the most or made him the happiest, it was the church. He loved the church. And he understood the church. Dad, like all of us, had his faults, his imperfections. Like most of us, may pass down a generational curse or two, you know. But you begin to know and understand that the heart is in the right place. And you're thankful for that. And so when we begin to think about it, that's God's blessings to us, that we're to give and to pass along that heritage of faith, those good things that we celebrate in someone's life. And that's very important. So again, what can you do to multiply? What can we do to multiply the kingdom of God? Well, we can give back the blessings God has given us. If he's given you ability, it's his for you to bring him glory. If he's given you whatever kind of personality that God can use, it's to give to him. And if any kind of experiences, it's to give to God. And any kind of work, any kind of dollars, any kind of enjoyment, any kind of families and friends, is that we're responsible to give back to what he's given to us. The blessings that we've been given are we are to give back to us. Now, we can do that as a church as a whole as well. And we plan on doing that through local missions in a greater way. We have plans to look at a community ministry building, and hopefully by this fall that there will be some plans that we can at least discuss as a church and things of that nature. And we want to run parallel paths of local missions while we're building a church. This church has to be, the facilities have to be a resource for his glory. It has to be a place where we're training and where we're sending, and the new measurements are not how many come, but how many go from this place. And the other aspects of being an evangelistic missional church is how many of us are out to service, and whatever areas that we work or wherever areas God takes us, that's where the church is. And we're giving our hands and we're giving our voices for the glory of God. And you know, it takes all of us to be stronger and better together spiritually. And it takes all of us to have that servant's heart. So you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And let's try to support one another, and let's have a band of brothers and sisters around us that we might be encouraged and comforted and strengthened in the Word of God, and to live for him and see his power and his glory. And then when it comes time for us to leave this world, this earth as we know it, we'll know we're bound for heaven and we've done all that we can to glorify the Lord, and we'll experience his blessings here on earth. And we'll see them in great ways, immeasurably greater than we've ever seen or known. So whether it's a building God desires for us to have and to use, whether it's ministry here locally that he wants to have us a better presence in our communities, we have to do it together. And God is asking you, will you be a part of a living sacrifice with the one sitting behind you, in front of you, next to you? And let's pray for one another as we make these commitments. Will you bow with me?